Welcome to the big interview on Money Life, where today we're going to be talking money, markets, and more with Ron Sanchez. He is the Chief Investment Officer at Fiduciary Trust Company International. And if you want more information, well, it's fiduciarytrust.com. But if you go to the Money Life Show recent and upcoming guest page and you find Ron there, you will find a link directly to some of his commentaries and outlooks and more. And so you can get directly to find out what he's thinking when he's not here. But right now, he is here. And I'm very happy to say, Ron Sanchez, welcome back to the show.
Oh, great, Chuck. It's good to be back. Thank you.
So we are living in these proverbial interesting times where, man, the headlines will sort of snap your head in every direction. And maybe that's because that's what headlines are designed to do. Go, oh, look at this, look at this. But it is literally one minute, hey, the market's near record highs, and it's going to keep going. And the next one, it's like, this pattern sets up for the worst thing we've seen since the 80s. Seriously, I'm thinking the market's gotten a little schizophrenic. But maybe that's just me because I watch all this stuff. The stuff you're looking at, does it make you feel at all that the market's gotten a little crazy?
No, not really. I certainly appreciate the perspective about headline news, and I don't want to refer to it as noise. But I think you do have, as we kind of set up here at the midway mark of 2018, the narrative that's unfolding is a little bit of a tug of war between policy and fundamentals. And so on some days, markets are particularly focused on the fundamentals. And I would argue that recently we've seen that markets are grinding higher here. We're in the tail end of the second quarter earnings, which have given investors a good perspective on how tax reform, how improving growth from an economic standpoint has translated to earnings. But to your point, there are every day and every tweet and in the afternoon, you can have more rhetoric, which has intensified here in the last 2 or 3 months with respect to trade policy. And so this tug of war between potential trade war, trade barriers that have a degree of uncertainty, they are challenging for allocators of capital to handicap the prospects, since we're doing unilateral negotiations with not only NAFTA or Mexico and Canada, but also with respect to Europe, and in particular with China. And so there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of cross currents that are acting as a little bit of a headwind to what is arguably strong fundamentals, both from an economic and corporate perspective.
But I do read your commentaries, and I do know that you know, back not that long ago, I think it was in June, you were saying, you know, the market's doing great, but it feels so bad. So maybe the market's not schizophrenic, but there is an underlying current of everything is okay, but we're worried. Should we still be feeling okay?
I think we should. I think the trade policy remains a challenging development that will unfold over the second half. But from a pure fundamental perspective, global growth is good. As you know, the U.S. just printed, a week or two ago, GDP of 4.1. Europe has moderated from very robust growth in 2017. But I think we're on a sustainable path here. And certainly corporate earnings are coming in really, really robust. Admittedly, a lot of those growth rates and earnings are attributable to the tax cuts. But nonetheless, the economic momentum and the corporate momentum is very, very favorable. Employment continues to decline. We continue to add almost 200,000 jobs a month. Financial conditions, meaning interest rates, still hover under 3%. And so that's favorable. The dollar's been a little supportive here. Credit spreads remain, by historical standards, pretty narrow. So the backdrop continues to be supportive for financial assets or risk assets. Our expectation, though, is that as we are later on in the cycle, we do believe the cycle continues to extend. I do not believe, as I look out not only through 18 into 19, but maybe even into 20, I have a nice runway here of moderate trend economic growth. And so again, in a 2 to 3 year window, I think it's supportive for risk assets. I just would temper that we're not in an environment any longer of really robust returns. I think they're more moderate and reasonable.
Okay. So I don't think anybody's going to be unhappy with that. I mean, modest to reasonable returns. What we're talking there is mid-single digits, correct?
That is correct.
So mid-single digit returns for 2 to 3 years, I think that's almost happy days are here again for a lot of people. That said, does that mean that if somebody wants to goose their returns, keep going better, they're going to need to be looking internationally? And if so, are they looking developed or are they looking emerging?
So I think that the return profile that I've described really is globally. And so I think there are favorable developments overseas as well for that same type of return profile. But I think as we sit here today, there aren't any real cheap markets or asset classes after 8 years of monetary policy. I don't think there's attractive securities, there's attractive industries that have above average return profile. But I think broadly speaking, that it's a reasonable return environment across the globe. But I see very few areas that are downright cheap and have an above average return profile.
Okay, so that's interesting because most folks have been saying, yes, push more internationally. You're saying we're going to see modest returns wherever you go in the world. How big are the concerns in terms of that they could derail things? Because obviously you're making this based on the economic fundamentals and the things that you can see. The things that you can't see are just exactly how things like China are going to play out. And mind you, we didn't have to go that far back to have looked at big events that everybody was saying, oh, this will play out on a grand scale. You know, the Brexit, for example, that really haven't played out. They haven't done anything to derail things. So, you know, what's the confidence factor when you consider the political / societal pressures here that are somewhat bearing down on the market now?
So those are always difficult to handicap. They're generally always present when you allocate to risk assets. You need to be aware of them. But what I would argue is that the trajectory of the economy is really in solid footing. I have very few imbalances. So I feel like I'm in a position to absorb potentially some unknowns. In the case of trade, it's kind of a known unknown. And so when I look at the framework on trade, which could be unsettling to markets, if it was to move from rhetoric, from trade proposals to actually trade tariffs, today we really only have about $50 billion of goods that are subject to tariffs. There are proposals on the table for in excess of $200 billion. If they were to come to fruition over the balance of the year, you could be looking, and again, these estimates move around and remain to be seen, but almost under the worst case scenario, you could be looking at a little over $100 billion of actual tariffs, which clearly will have adverse implications for global trade. But that is in the context of about $800 billion of fiscal thrust that's still to play out in 18 and early 19 from pro-growth policies and tax reform that was enacted late in 17. So they're not an exact trade-off, although there's a tug-of-war between the pro-growth policies that we have and the U.S.-centric policies with respect to trade that could counterbalance. But just putting it in context of dollars and the overall size of the economy, I think we're at a strong enough point in time that the negative aspects of a trade war, which will be complicated and complex and have supply chain issues and will be inevitably disruptive, I'm not sure in the short term that it materially alters the path and trajectory of economic growth.
And, you know, we've talked about, okay, we've got solid economic growth. We've got a solid underpinning for a 2 to 3 year window of modest growth. Are there parts of the market that you dislike or sectors where, you know, this is what's going to fuel that growth and this is maybe what's not?
So, yes. And I think you're entering into a period of, I don't want to call it winners and losers, but an environment that's more conducive to alpha generation, because it's an environment that doesn't play out for all sectors. So in this environment, one of the areas or a couple of sectors that I think are more vulnerable are areas that are more, that don't have high growth trajectory, like consumer staples, that could feel some input pressure as commodities move up here and just don't have the growth rates and don't have the pricing power to pass that along. Utilities would be another example. Telecom, these are areas that would be challenged in a slightly rising interest rate environment. So those are areas that we do not like and favor more areas that have the growth potential, have the ability to pass on, such as tech, financials also, and some cyclicals here, I think are areas of the U.S. market that we find quite favorable. And lastly, small cap. I think it's an area that has, or an asset class, I should say, that actually benefits from pro-growth policies that were enacted and aren't necessarily harmed by pro-U.S. policies, meaning trade policy. And so if we look at small cap, it is an asset class that is most levered to U.S. growth. And so certainly it's doing quite well here as the economy has popped to a 4.1. Small cap has done well. We're also in a favorable regulatory environment that argues well for small cap. And if we do have trade policy and a rising dollar, most of small cap is more domestic than the multinational large cap counterpart.
Yeah, which will help.
And so that should do quite well, and I think you're seeing that already. It's with the best performing sector or asset class is small cap this year, and we're quite favorable on it.
Ron, thanks for joining us. Ron Sanchez from Fiduciary Trust Company International, fiduciarytrust.com. We'll be right back.